this is your Polycast for Friday, November 11th, Veterans Day, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, new leadership in the state Senate, and protests and uncertainty after Donald Trump's election. Republicans have chosen Senator Paul Gazelka of Nisswa to serve as the next Senate Majority Leader, Tim Pugmire reports.
Gazelka was re-elected to a third term Tuesday in an election that gave Republicans a slim 34-33 advantage over Democrats and their first majority since 2012. The GOP takeover won't be official until recounts in two districts, but Republicans moved ahead quickly with their reorganization. During a news conference, Gazelka said a fix for rising health care costs will be a top priority, but he didn't provide specifics.
We're going to have to figure that out. We have a lot of good ideas here. There's a number of folks here that have talked about good ideas, and now it's time to put those together.
The Senate's current top Republican won't be coming back. David Hand lost his bid for re-election in the Eden Prairie District. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Meanwhile, Senate Democrats stuck with their leader Tom Bach of Cook to lead the new minority, and House Democrats chose Representative Melissa Hortman of Brooklyn Park as their minority leader. Several thousand demonstrators took to the streets of Minneapolis last night to protest the election of Donald Trump. The group marched through the Cedar Riverside neighborhood in support of the many Somali Americans who live there and then shut down Interstate 94 for about an hour and a half. Matt Sepik reports.
Just after dark, around 1,000 people gathered on the West Bank campus of the University of Minnesota in the plaza outside the Humphrey School of Public Affairs. Among them was 35-year-old Andy Larson of Minneapolis. A supporter of Bernie Sanders during the caucuses, Larson says he unenthusiastically cast a ballot for Hillary Clinton in the general election. With Donald Trump set to take the oath of office in just over 2 months, Larson rejects calls for national unity from President Obama and other leaders and says Trump's campaign was marked by racism and misogyny.
As much as people say we should let the country heal, I think it's kind of like trying to just say an infected wound is going to heal on its own or something. Like, there's something generally rotten about campaigning in that way, and that this much of the country went along with it is just scary.
Steve Myers, a 24-year-old African-American man from Minneapolis, says Trump's anti-Muslim and anti-immigrant rhetoric has emboldened far-right extremists. Myers says 2016 was not a normal election, and he dreads the next 4 years.
Sometimes you lose elections. Sometimes the people that you really are hoping takes the office does not win. But this feels different in that I fear for my life. I have friends in the Muslim community that fear for their lives.
After rallying at the U, the protesters headed through the Cedar Riverside neighborhood, home to the nation's largest Somali American community. They paused for several minutes at the Riverside Plaza apartment towers and chanted, "Refugees are welcome here." 22-year-old Abdi Rahman, who lives in the complex, smiled as he watched the demonstration.
Actually, it feels nice that knowing people are standing up for us and knowing that we're welcome here. And so it feels really nice knowing that American people are standing up with us.
The crowd was moving and fluid and grew steadily to at least several thousand people as it headed east on Riverside Avenue. Around 7:45, protesters walked onto westbound Interstate 94, where police and cruisers protected them from traffic. Demonstrators generally stayed off the eastbound lanes, but authorities shut down the freeway in both directions. The crowd remained on the interstate for about 90 minutes. Maida Abdi, a Somali-American student at the U, was among those on the road. Abdi fears a possible Trump administration crackdown on terrorism will tar all Muslims with a broad brush.
There is definitely going to be a lot more of the association of, like, Muslim equaling terrorists, and also, like, Somalis by default, since they're Muslim equaling terrorists.
Minneapolis police say they did not make any arrests, nor was anyone injured. The demonstration was one of many across the country this week denouncing Trump's election. That prompted plenty of blowback on social media from Trump supporters who accused protesters of not respecting the democratic process. The president-elect also took to Twitter last night, alleging that the people in the streets were, quote, professional protesters incited by the media. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
The reaction to Tuesday's presidential election is playing out in schools around the state, with tension reported in some cases as students bring differing views to class. Racist graffiti Wednesday at Maple Grove High School is one extreme example, but it's unclear how often tension is boiling over into action. Solveig Wastvedt has more.
Messages including "whites only," "Trump train," and the N-word were scrawled on a bathroom door at Maple Grove Senior High Wednesday. The district reacted, starting an investigation and getting the police involved. And the next morning, a parent told NPR that her daughter found students smiling and handing out cookies when students arrived, along with messages of acceptance posted on the wall. The smiles and cookies are a step toward healing divisions, but they certainly won't solve a problem that is not unique to Maple Grove. Students around the state are struggling with divisions that mirror the country's deeply divided voting-age adults. Nora Tycast teaches band at Spring Lake Park High School.
My colleague and I both see just a wide gamut of reactions from students. Students that are really sad and scared, and students that are really excited and pleased. So on Wednesday morning, we saw a lot of fist pumping and kids really feeling free to express their excitement and kind of their pride in the country in a bunch of different ways. And we also had some students that were a lot more subdued.
Tycast says she didn't see an increase in racist incidents post-election, but she says the school routinely struggles with racial tension. And it's unclear how many incidents similar to Maple Grove there may be. The Minnesota Department of Education says it's gotten 3 calls about incidents of harassment in schools. NPR News looked into a report of white students intimidating Latino students at Jefferson High School in Bloomington. The district says it's investigated the report and denies that physical intimidation happened. But shy of explicit incidents, it's undeniable that some students are dealing with anxiety. Administrators in several districts sent letters home encouraging civility and denouncing racism and harassment. Amy Hewitt Olatunde teaches English language learners at Leap High School in St. Paul. She says all her students are immigrants or refugees, and many of them are fearful.
Many of them think that they need to think about where to go. If they go home, if they don't have a place to go home to, what should they do? Their parents are also extremely fearful of what may happen in terms of retaliation.
Higher Ground Academy, also in St. Paul, has a primarily African-American population. Teacher Catherine Isley says she's sensed fear among her students since the primaries.
I've had 3 kids come up to me yesterday going, am I going to get deported, like quietly in the halls, not in front of everybody.
But on Thursday in civics class, Isley is teaching her students how the American government works. And she's teaching them how to debate ideas.
Let's talk about some of those words we can use to disagree with people. What are some of the phrases and words you can say when you disagree with somebody?
Isley says students have been split throughout the election on policies. For Layla, a 10th grader, Donald Trump's views don't worry her too much.
It's not like he's going to make every single decision. He has a cabinet behind him, and then they're going to help him make good decisions.
Another 10th grader, Adar, feels differently about the president-elect. She mentions that she's afraid of an increase in hate crimes following the election.
I am worried about his supporters because he brought all the racism has existed, for a long time in our history. But I feel like he brought all the racists out, all the sexists out.
But Adar says she's not worried about being deported. She's been paying attention in civics class. I know my rights, she says. Covering education, I'm Solveig Wastvedt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
President-elect Trump has promised to scrap trade deals, impose tariffs, cut taxes, and a lot more. Now companies in Minnesota and across the country are trying to figure out what the Trump presidency will mean for business. Martin Moylan has the story.
Business leaders say Trump's win creates a lot of uncertainty. Shay Mandel is president of the Medical Alley Association, which represents health technology and care organizations in the state.
He didn't lay out tons of specifics, so I think learning more about some of the specifics of what he's interested in doing is something that we're all waiting for.
Medical Alley has a shopping list, though. The association would like to see a permanent repeal of the Affordable Care Act's tax on medical devices, along with lower taxes overall.
Many of those prospective changes, be it tax reform or ACA reform, reform that could be on the horizon are things that we could be very positive about, but we need to know more about exactly what the pathway forward is going to be.
But Medical Alley also wants to preserve trade policies that help companies sell their products around the globe, and ripping up trade agreements was a central tenet of Trump's campaign. Trade is also a big concern for Minnesota farmers. They don't want to see their exports cut because of trade disputes. Harold Woolley is president of the Minnesota Corn Growers Association.
A significant portion of Minnesota's production agriculture, corn and soybeans and wheat, is destined for the export market.
Minnesota exported $7.3 billion in agricultural products in 2014. The state's construction firms, big and small, hope Trump can follow through on promises to invest in fixing the nation's roads and other infrastructure big league. Dave Semerad is CEO of Associated General Contractors of Minnesota, whose members include construction firms such as Opus, Mortenson, and Krauss Anderson.
In the construction industry, I would say that we are optimistic that some things are going to get done.
Including a big wall on the Mexican border?
Most of us think there will never be a wall, but there will be something that is symbolic of a wall.
Minnesota Business Partnership Executive Director Charlie Weaver expects Trump's plans will come into clearer focus once he's in office.
The presidency tends to ground people, really make them serious.
Weaver likes what he hears from Trump about cutting regulation and taxes, especially on the profits companies want to bring back to the U.S. from overseas operations. But Trump's positions in three areas make Minnesota businesses nervous.
Trade, foreign policy, and immigration. Minnesota businesses in particular heavily rely on trade. Companies like Polaris or Cargill or Land O'Lakes.
With Trump's election, it seems the Affordable Care Act will be scuttled as Trump vows to replace it with something better. Minnesota Chamber of Commerce President Doug Loon says he'll be watching for the impact on the health care and insurance industries, two large employers in the state. He says the voters' expectations are clear.
Reforming health care, reforming the marketplace, not destroying the industry in the process.
Martin Moylan, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. It's been a long and a historic week. I hope you'll stay with us as we see what happens next.